the consecutive articulation of these three events, undulating wind ostinato, English horn motive, icy strings. Debussy, L'Ouage, Part 1. And that's it. Now, might I point out, and again, I'm stereotyping slightly, but that's all right. The style, that is, the sound of this music, is as important as the substance, the actual pitches they are playing. And this is very much true with many French things, like French cooking. Listen, you go into a restaurant in the United States or Germany, and you order a piece of meat, you're going to get a piece of meat, my friends. That's the point of that meal. And you eat that meat. Ah, there might be some sauce on it. There might not be. But the point of that meal is the meat. Now, you go into a French restaurant, you don't order a piece of meat. You order a sauce that is on top of the meat, and the sauce is a celebration of nuance, of detail, of gorgeous presentation. The meat is simply the necessary object on which the sauce is poured. But the point, the challenge of that cooking is how one delivers the meat, what goes on it. Again, it's the style rather than the meat substance. That's the point of that food. Now, I'm making grand statements that are perhaps unfair, but we need to differentiate clearly between this kind of music and German music, where the substance of the pitches and the harmonies and the rhythms is the point of the piece. Here, the tone colors, the timbres, are as important in defining theme as anything else. Let us continue, because there are many other things to reveal. We are going to listen now to parts 2 and 3 of this 7-part composition. And here's what I want us to be aware of. First, what had been played consecutively during part 1, undulating winds, followed by the English horn, followed by the icy strings and the drum rolls, what had been consecutive in part 1 now becomes concurrent. Debussy will verticalize what had been horizontal before. So we're going to hear undulating strings longer than the first time, creating very rich harmonies, and that will be superimposed above the English horn motive, which will be heard for a longer period of time than the first time. The undulating strings build to a climax of sorts, asserting themselves over the rest of the music, and then they recede into the background even as we hear a rising motive in the low winds. Now, while we're listening to this music, here's what I want you to be aware of. Are we hearing any contrast? Are we hearing any variation? Are we hearing repetition? Are we hearing modulation? What are we hearing? We are hearing none of those things. We are hearing stasis. For all of the beautiful colors in this music, the music's not going anywhere tonally. It's completely static. Debussy doesn't believe in harmonic progression in the German sense, and he's finding new ways to create a piece of music without having moving harmonies. Those moving harmonies, my friends, have been working since the Renaissance, and Debussy is not using a traditional harmonic progression. Then we will go to part 3 and hear something even more startling. Simultaneously, stacked one above the other, we will hear undulating winds, again, that wind ostinato, stacked on top of the English horn stuff, the longest version to date, and pizzicato, plucked low strings. And what I want you to notice, and I will sing this over the recording, ugly though it will sound, what I want you to hear is this entire section of music, part 3, is underlain with what we call a pedal, a single pitch in the low instruments that never varies. It's the same B from the beginning to the end of part 3. This is completely static music. It's not going anywhere. This is stunningly different from any music we have listened to up to this point of the course. Let us listen then to parts 2 and 3. I will indicate when part 3 begins, and I will sing that endless B until part 3 ends and part 4 begins. Debussy, L'Ouage, part 2.